Morning, church. Morning. Pastor Aaron was talking about the 1972 revival in Singapore. I just received a video from friends in Singapore. I was a product of that revival. Because in 1975, I received the Lord Jesus in a youth meeting. Because at that time in Singapore, the youth movement was very, very strong. And I was planted in a classroom. I was from 213. I was from the arts classroom. And beside my classroom was 214, 213 and 214. 214 was the naughty class. Because a lot of people who had to stay back because they couldn't make it in terms of their grades, they all went to 214. So 214 was a really naughty class and they always spill out of the classroom. Oh, this is not part of my message, but I'm like preaching it, you know, because the Holy Spirit movement was really strong at that time. And so these girls, I was from a girls' school, Crescent Girls' School, and the girls would spill out of the classroom and they would be talking very loudly. And then I found out that some of them actually went to church. So some of the girls, Christians, who were from Grace Assembly that we were affiliated to, yeah, that's the reason why I came to Grace City Church, because when we were about to migrate, we ask ourselves, you know, where do we want to go? Then we found out that from our church announcement, Grace Assembly at that time was in Perth. So we said the only place to migrate to would be Perth. So we came here because there's a church that we planted from Singapore. It's crazy, right? So the story is, so these people went over to Grace Assembly and then they brought me and my friends from classroom 213 to this church in Grace Assembly where there was a great revival among the youths. I tell you what, God is so good. 47 years later, I'm still here. I'm a product of that revival, man. Holy Spirit is great power, very sustaining, very long-lasting, ever ready to charge us. Come, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. Holy Spirit never changes. And your power never changes. Your power is so present on people that would avail themselves to you and you would carry them through, Lord, from season to season, from transition to transition, from strength to strength, from glory to glory. And today, dear Lord, we are able to sit in your presence because the Holy Spirit is in us to want to know more about Jesus. We thank you, dear Lord. And even for today, even as you want to give us gifts of love, we freely receive it as you freely give in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I have a mentor. And in my most recent session with my mentor says, I will pray for you. And I said, great. And then he said, I'll pray for you to prophesy more. I must confess that I'm a bit unnerved by that because I don't know what a prophesying more hat would look like and whether or not it would actually fit me. But as I was doing 1 Corinthians 14, which is our text today, I begin to understand more about prophecy and I wish that you would prophesy more. Now you know how I feel when I was in the cafe with my mentor, when he says, prophesy more. I'm asking you now to prophesy more. You might ask, do I really have this gift of love called prophecy? Or am I really qualified to prophesy? And the answer is yes, because Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:1, he says, I wish that you will eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Paul wants us to eagerly desire spiritual gifts so that we will prophesy. And the reason for that is because God is looking for messengers. God is looking for mouthpieces to build up his church through prophecy. I actually went looking at 1 Corinthians 14 and I was looking for words that really resonated. Six times were these words mentioned in 1 Corinthians 14. And the words were built up, building up, build up. It build up, build up, build up. Six times were these words used in 1 Corinthians 14 alone. So I believe the message is quite clear that God desires for us to receive His message, to receive His divine revelation, which we did this morning through Pastor Aaron, that if you are dry, God is your blazing fire. That's prophecy. That's a prophetic word. As we receive the divine word, we then convey to those who are willing to listen, to the listeners, and then we get all built up. How many of you want to be built up in the Spirit? Whoa, so good. The Lord is here. Holy Spirit is here with gifts of love to build us up. And so it's good to know from 1 Corinthians 14 then, what are the marks of prophesying that can build up? And I'm going to use the word love because I think it's a good word. Use love because love is the main motivation for us as Christians, yeah? And love is the language of the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to use the word love as an acronym to explain 1 Corinthians chapter 14. You ready with the first letter? And the first letter of love is L. That's correct. L is for, I know it's lovely. All of you look very lovely here. But love is for love. And so let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 1 to 5. And let's find out some things about love in those few verses. It says, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues unless someone interprets so that the church may be built up. The first letter is L for love. Love, love as a way of life. I like you, like Paul saying to you, love as a way of life. Make love your aim. Love spiritual gifts. Let love be your aim. Love as a way of life. Because when you love as a way of life, as a lifestyle, your lifestyle is full of love. When you pursue love, when you let love be your aim, you are actually loving the Holy Spirit, because love is the language and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Today, there's a lot of emphasis on the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is really so present in our vocabulary today, and we want Him to manifest amongst our midst even much more, yeah? You see, when your spiritual gifts emerge from that solid foundation of love, then your gifting has the backing of the Holy Spirit. So if you understand that, then when you practice in the presence of God using prophecy, then you know you have got the backing of the Holy Spirit. And your gifting is in sync with God's character. When you can do that, then you will love prophesying so that other people can be built up. There'll be an upbuilding, there'll be an encouragement, and there'll be a consoling. That's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3. I love the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit will keep you really humble. I think the last message I said, you know, to keep you humble is to rein you in. If you've got a horse and it's wild, it's going to bring you everywhere. It's no good. You need to break the horse and tame the horse. The Holy Spirit loves to rein you in. Come on, you are in control because I am with you. That's what the Holy Spirit will say. Because if not, then we can get really very easily entangled with what Pastor Aaron told us in the last sermon on the gifts of love, the first part, we will so easily go into some of these selves. Self-aggrandizing, self-promoting, self-gratification, and self-glory. You just love yourself. It's so easy to go into that if we do not have the Holy Spirit to keep us humble. I need to say this because spiritual gifts or supernatural gifts are very public and they are very attractive. You see, the Corinthian church loves speaking in tongues. You know why? Because tongues, when they spoke in that world at that time, and even up to today, some of our tongues are very, very nice to hear. And the Corinthian church actually thinks that they resemble the language of angels. So can you imagine somebody in church speaking the language of angels? Very impressive, no? Very public, because when you go to the church service, that's what they will do. The Corinthian church will then, and then, whoa, tongues. Whoa, and all the tongues are so impressive, like angels. And so those who are practicing the tongues get a public sort of response from the people. So it's very attractive. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit to help us. If not, if we don't have love and we don't have the help of the Holy Spirit, then we can actually misuse the gifts and the power. So, right, church, we need to love as a way of life, and then we need to love spiritual gifts. Is that all right? The second part of love is this. You need to love tongues, and you need to love prophesying. Because here it says, earnestly desire to speak in tongues and prophesy. So Paul is saying, don't forbid speaking in tongues. Some of us speak in tongues here. Paul is saying, continue, don't forbid speaking in tongues. That's found in verse 39. Because Paul says in verse 18, I spoke in tongues more than all of you. So tongues are great. Tongues are a great tool to intercede. Especially, you know, sometimes when you pray, and there was a period when I went through a really hard time, don't know what to pray, and I burst into tongues before God in private prayer. Because some of the groanings inside, you cannot speak in English. You got to speak in the language of the Holy Spirit. So tongues are great when you are interceding, when you are praying. Nobody understands you when you speak in tongues. You yourself don't even understand that you are speaking whatever that you are speaking, because you don't understand. Because the Bible tells us we utter mysteries in the Spirit. And I always, after each time when I am in private prayer with God and I speak in tongues, I usually feel quite refreshed, like a recharging. Because that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. When you speak His language, you feel the flow, isn't it? When you speak each other's language, like, you know, you get connected, it's like you feel the flow. And sometimes you say after a friend that you've met and you have not met them for a long time and they are still saying the same thing that you really felt in sync, you say, wow, I feel the connection. So usually after tongues, I would really feel built up so that I can be stronger, I can be more empowered to do what God has assigned us to do. The Holy Spirit fills us, not for ourselves, also for ourselves, but not merely for ourselves. The Holy Spirit fills us so that we get strong and then we go and strengthen other people. We go and build up other people, whichever the people are. Whether it's family, colleagues, or friends, or strangers, whatever God has put into our paths, we go and build them up. Now, this is very important. I'm going to come to the very important part now. So, Paul says, I love tongues. I speak more than all of you in tongues. Tongues are great. It is a gift of love from the Holy Spirit to help us pray better, to get recharged, and to really be empowered to do whatever assignments God has put across our path. So that is very, very important. The next important point is this. But speaking in tongues is not for a public meeting. Like if we come to a church service, we don't want to speak in tongues unless you have an interpretation. That's what the Bible tells us. Okay? unless there is someone interpreting for you. So if you speak in tongues very loudly, you need to be the one interpreting it if no one else is interpreting it. The reason is we want people to understand. Because if you are speaking mystery and nobody understands, it's no good for anybody. That's what Paul is saying. So Paul gave an analogy to musical instruments. He gave an analogy of tongues to musical instruments. That's found in verses 7 to 11. Let's read that. He says, even if lifeless instruments such as the flute or the harp do not give distinct notes, how will anyone know what is played? And if the bugle gives an indistinct sound, who will get ready for battle? So with yourselves, if with your tongue you utter speech that is not intelligible, how will anyone know what is said? For you'll be speaking into the air. There are doubtless many different languages in the world, and none is without meaning. But if I do not know the meaning of the language, I will be a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker a foreigner to me. I'm going to play something for you, and you hear. Traffic.
Notre Père, qui es aux cieux, que ton nom soit sanctifié, que ton règne vienne, que ta volonté soit faite sur la terre comme au ciel. Donne-nous aujourd'hui notre pain de ce jour. Pardonne-nous nos offenses, comme nous pardonnons aussi à ceux qui nous ont offensés. Et ne nous soumets pas à la tentation, mais délivre-nous du mal. Car c'est à toi qu'appartiennent le règne, la puissance et la gloire, pour les siècles des siècles. Amen.
Amen. Oui. It's articulate, it's sophisticated, but if you don't understand French, you don't know what the person is saying. It is the Lord's Prayer in French. Beautiful, huh? Beautiful. So the same thing is with tongues. If you speak in tongues and you are not understood by other people, is like speaking French now and you make no sense of what is happening because you don't understand French. I think that in our midst, there are some people who understand French. A few of us, huh? Yeah. Do you know it was the Lord's Prayer? Oh, that's beautiful. Oui. I only know one. Oui. Yes. So what Paul is saying is this. When the whole church comes together, don't speak in tongues unless you have an interpreter with you. Choose rather to prophesy. Because if all speak in tongues, and then if outsiders come and unbelievers come in our midst, then in verse 23, Paul says, then will they not say that you are out of your minds? Because they don't understand. Can you imagine I just play this less than 1 minute sort of a French to you? If you're not a French speaker, if I play that, I say, okay, today I'm not preaching, okay? And pastor is not here, so I can just take a break and sit there and let the Frenchman speak French to you the whole time. It's no fun, isn't it? Because you don't understand. So same thing, if we only speak in tongues, and people come and they don't understand what you're saying, then it's not going to help them. It's not going to benefit them. So that's why Paul says, prophesy more. Now I understood why my mentor tells me that, to prophesy more. Now, prophesying is not merely predicting the future. That's what a lot of us think prophesying is. Prophesying is basically bringing forth a message. Like this morning, we've got a prophecy from Pastor Aaron, to bring forth a message from God. It says, I feel there are people who are dry here. And the word here is God wants to give you the blazing fire. So that's a prophecy. It's to bring forth that message from God and then to minister to the people of God to build the people up. So prophecy is for the upbuilding and encouragement and consolation of the church. Okay, down here it says, in this verse. It says, the one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongue. Now, Paul is not saying between these two gifts, if you prophesy, it's better. You know, you that means you are a little bit higher. You know, you are greater in status. Or, you know, God loves you so much. You are God's favorite child. And that's why God gives you the greater gift. No, it's not like that. It means the greater gift means it is more broadly used. That means when someone prophesies in English or in the language native to the congregation, then everybody can understand. So it has got broader application. It's greater like that. It's greater exposure, greater understanding. Amen. So love tongues, but love prophesying. You know, the church, whether it's corporately or individual members, we will get stronger when the gift of prophecy is being used. And we have a lot of prophetic words spoken over the church over all these years. That's why we're growing spiritually and inwardly as well as an individual church member. We need to ask the Lord for more prophetic words. And maybe within in our midst, we need to prophesy more to each other so that we can encourage one another and we can go through different seasons of our church life being victorious for the Lord Jesus. God loves to speak to us. First of all, God loves to speak to us. If God can speak to us audibly, He would. This is my beloved church. He would speak to us, but God doesn't speak to us audibly, and He got to use people like ourselves to actually do that. So I pray that you will love as a way of life, and then you would also love spiritual gifts. Amen? O is for order. O is for order. L-O-O for order. If you look at verses 26 to 40, we get some things about order there. What then, brothers? When you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. If any speak in a tongue, let there be only two or at most three, and each in turn, and let someone interpret. But if there's no one to interpret, let each of them keep silent in church and speak to himself and to God. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others weigh what is said. If a revelation is made to another sitting there, let the first be silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, so that all may learn and be encouraged. And the spirits of prophets are subject to prophets. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. As in all the churches of the saints, the women should keep silent in the churches. Doesn't apply now, thank God. For they are not permitted to speak, but should be in submission, as the law also says. If there's anything they desire to learn, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is shameful for a woman to speak in church. I'll explain this. Now, don't get angry with me. All the women looking at me now like, or was it from you that the word of God came, or are you the only ones it has reached? If anyone thinks he's a prophet or spiritual, he should acknowledge that the things I'm writing to you are a command of the Lord. If anyone does not recognize this, he's not recognized. So, my brothers, eagerly, earnestly desire to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues, but all things should be done decently and in order. So, O stands for order. You see, Corinthian church is a Gentile congregation. So, they have been saved and they have left pagan worship and they have come into the church, and so they all got fired up because when they got saved and the Holy Spirit was moving, just like in 1975, we were already 3 years from that revival. We are still feeling the flames of the Spirit, you know, spilling over, like 2:14 spilling over to 2:13, you know. We felt the Holy Spirit spilling over. So the Gentile congregation, they received Jesus, and they got excited because the Holy Spirit was coming in full force. They got fired up. Holy Spirit was active. They got lots to share. So Paul says, I know you got lots to share. You have a hymn, you have a lesson, you have a revelation, you have a tongue, you have interpretation. Wow, you bring so many things to the church, all wanting to prophesy. That's in verse 26, yeah? But what happens is the Corinthian church got carried away. And they felt compelled that they had to unload everything that was inside their hearts. Sometimes you feel this way. When I was a young prophetic person, I really felt this way. When the Holy Spirit moved me, I felt that so much has come into me and my mouth could not process, you know, and could not channel it out to all of you. And sometimes I get really scared. So the Corinthian church is the same. It's like they felt compelled that they need to tell everything out from inside their hearts. But Paul says, no, 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 no. He says the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. That means you can control your response. It's not like when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you're wild. No. The spirit of the prophets are subject to prophets. And also the Corinthian church have lofty ideas of themselves. You see, the tongue is a language of angels. So some of them thought, wow, was it from me that the word of God came? They said, ooh, wow, I speak the words of God. Could it be from me that the words of God? Wow, very lofty, proud, arrogant ideas, you know. Or, that's what the Bible is saying, 1 Corinthians 14, it says, or am I the only one it has reached? They even thought they were so special that the Holy Spirit chooses just them. Wow, so they begin to speak in tongues and begin to really make it a very showy thing. That make the church service really carnal and really disorderly. So Paul says, no, the church must not have a disorderly sort of a meeting. The idea of coming together is to build up, and if you don't take turns, then there'll be confusion. There'll be disorder, there'll be chaos, there'll be instability. Paul says, this is different from the God we believe in, because the God we believe in verse 33, is a God of peace, not of confusion. So God is God of order. He wants stability in the house. The Holy Spirit is gentle. He wants to come and display gentle power within us. He's not proud and haughty in His power. He's gentle. Gentle power. No rush. No force. Take your time. Take turns. I like it whenever we have got like Father's Day, Mother's Day, you know, pastor would always say, all right, there is a banquet out there, there is a feast out there, don't rush, order, everything has got a lot, you know, so don't rush, go in order. And it's beautiful to see the people of God queuing up, taking their food, giving their plates away, you know, we keep giving our plates away. Lovely image. That's God. God of peace, God of order, and God of stability. So Paul says, I like things to be done in order. The Holy Spirit is mighty among you, but things must be done in order. And he gave a suggestion, like a program, a suggestion. Two or three tongues, probably Corinthian church must have 10 or something, and people get tired, you know, because they stay in the church for like 5 hours. He says two or three tongues, and if you want to speak a tongue, it really must be accompanied with interpretation. If not, be silent. Go back and pray your tongues to the Lord, yeah? Two or three prophecies, and then you are to weigh out the words. That means you need to discern that the message is really from God. We are to discern. We must not just trust everything, right? Google or here, we must not trust everything. We need to discern. But we have prayed over our pulpit, so I trust that our pulpit has been guarded and words that come forth are full of integrity and sincerity and holiness from the Lord. We trust that. But even then, Paul says, you still have to discern. Okay, especially if you are watching a lot of streaming, you're watching a lot of messages from other countries, just be very discerning, yeah? Discern what the Lord is saying. So he says, be orderly. And then he told the women, okay, I'm like biting my nails, you know? Women, you are to keep silent in church. It's not applying to us, thank God. See, in the Jewish tradition, women are not permitted to speak. That is Jewish culture in the ancient world. They are not permitted to speak. And so Paul is saying, women, I don't want you to speak in church because it is in keeping with the Jewish tradition. And also in the Corinthian church, the men and the women probably will be sitting quite differently. They will be sitting separately. I was in Pakistan and was asked to speak there. And all of them sat on the floor, the men in front, and the women, they sit behind. So I suspect that in the Corinthian church, men and women will be sitting in a place that if the women wants to talk to the men or the husbands, it will be a little bit more awkward because then they will have to get up from their place and then, "Oi, Henry, what is she saying, huh?" You know, and then Paul is saying, look, it's so disorderly because you get five women, and these are Gentile women, you know, don't know the traditions of the culture. They'll be standing up and, "Oi, oi, oi." It was very disorderly. And Paul says, no, I don't want women to do that. Please, women, I'd like you to go home and ask your husband those questions you want to ask them in church, because this will preserve the order in the church. Order is very important because God is orderly. It is His nature. And God wants us to observe order so that we can actually reflect Him. So when we are operating in the gifts of the Spirit, there must be an order, because the order will ensure that as the words come forth, people will get to hear and then we all get blessed. Amen. Amen. And thank God always for the sound team. The sound team actually maintains order in the house. Do you know that? Because without the sound, we can't say a lot of things, you know. But the sound team give us order on here so that every one of you is clear of the instructions and we all get to do what has been or what is being told. So thank you, sound team. Thank you, video team. L-O-V. V. V for validation. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 6, and then 12 to 20. "Now, brothers, if I come to you speaking in tongues, how will I benefit you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or teaching? So with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you are saying? For you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in church, I would rather speak five words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers, do not be children in your thinking, be infants in evil, but in your thinking, be mature." Prophesying validates others because it builds them up. So that's why Paul says in verse 12, we are to strive to excel in building up the church. In other words, we need to put in mental effort. We need to put in our mind to think, how can I say it in such a way that I can build the people up to validate them? So Paul is saying, I like you to even construct your words. If God's Spirit is upon you, it doesn't go in a haphazard manner or disorderly manner. No, 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 no. The Spirit is subject to the prophet. So when the Spirit of the Lord comes, you construct your words in such a way, in a loving way, in a helpful way, in an unoffensive way, so that the other person who is listening in receives the best benefit from God. He says, if I pray with my spirit, I pray with my mind too. If I sing praise with my spirit, I will sing with my mind also. So there are two ways to validate. One is through intelligible instruction. Paul said, I would rather speak five words with my mind in order to instruct others. Instruct is a key word. I would rather only speak five words than 10,000 words in a tongue. See, when we come together as a church, there are people with needs. Sometimes we don't know, you know, we are all, you know, able to carry ourselves in a way that sometimes we don't see the needs in you. But in the church service, when the Holy Spirit is moving, there are needs in the church. And Paul is saying that God can use you as the channel. So you must have intelligible instruction to give. So God will give it to you, and then you will be able to meet the needs to instruct them. You get it? So some years ago, two pastors prophesied this on me. At that time, it was really foreign to me because I wasn't able to grasp what they were saying. They said, you will be a city leader. You'll be a leader in the city. At that time, I was a local church. I don't have a lot of network, you know, not city-wide network or something. So to be a leader in the city is like, I do not understand. But, you know, sometimes God gives you a word of instruction that may not be for the present moment. Sometimes God gives it to you for the future. Yes? Like when I was prophesied, you know, thank God for a pastor, 21. I only became a pastor when I was 36. So when these two pastors prophesied that on me, I didn't understand what is to be a leader in a city, you know, I don't understand. And then this COVID hits, and I understood because years before, a couple of years before, the Lord already impressed on me that I need to go into counseling in the community. So when the invitation came, I wasn't surprised because you know why? The prophecy has already helped me understand that, oh, being a leader in a city is like that. I can be doing community outreach from the private practice here in the church and be able to reach out. So God gave a word of instruction so that it is understood by you, is full of meaning, is intelligible, and you can instruct you to change your destiny and to change your direction. Sometimes God does that. God sometimes wants to change direction. You know why? Because sometimes we can't see our own direction. We have a lot of blind spots, really. We don't look at the rearview mirror in our lives. We don't look at the main mirror in our lives. We just drive, you know. And sometimes God got to say, stop. Change direction. Sometimes. Sometimes God allows us to go that freeway because, you know, God loves it too. Yeah. But sometimes God stops us. So we need to be intelligible in our instruction as we prophesy so that people can get built up. Also, you need to validate. When God gives you the word of prophecy, you need to validate through praise. Through praise. Validation comes through the positive channel of praise. That's why in verse 15 and 16 it says, sing praise with my spirit, sing with my mind, give thanks with your spirit, thanksgiving. So if there is a prophetic word given to you, or you are the one giving the prophetic word, I pray that you will, with the help of the Spirit, construct your word so well in a loving way and also in a way that is validating by being praising. Because we don't want to be doomsayers, huh? Because the prophet is already quite powerful, you know. You speak a message from God. And if you are a doomsayer, you say things that are doom and gloom, and which is also not biblical, it's not going to help anybody. So God wants us to, or Paul advises, instructs us that if you are prophesying, prophesy something validating and use praise. I remember many years ago, I've got a friend in Singapore. He came to me. I just made an overseas trip. And my friend came to me and he said, is everything all right? I said, oh, yes. It was a good trip, you know. I looked very puzzled. And he looked also very puzzled. He says, nothing happened. I said, no, nothing happened. He said, I had a dream about you. Oh, he said, the dream is that you have an accident in the trip. I said, oh, you sure there is no accident in the trip? I said, no. He was wanting to be right in his dream. He was wanting to be accurate, he thinks, with the word God gives to him, than celebrating with me that I'm well and alive. Don't do that, okay? Let's not be doomsayers. Let's be able to validate people using the word of God, a divine message, and then pointing people in the right direction. That's why Paul says, be mature in your vocabulary. Because if you're an adult, and a spiritual adult, and God wants to use adults to build up his church, then you need to really be able to phrase your words properly. Because as an adult, you can control your speech. You can praise or not praise. You can control because you're an adult. So we want to be spiritually adult so that we can build people up. Kids don't know. Kids say anything that is in their mind. They don't know. But we adults, our spiritual adults especially, we can choose, pick those words that are validating. But kids do not know. I remember when my five-year-old at that time was in the train and he saw somebody with long hair. I think I may have said this to you. He said somebody with long hair. And he looked at that guy and he pointed to that guy, Jesus! And then he knew the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. I was so embarrassed, you know. The kids don't know. They just say anything that is in their mind. But adults, no. Adults can pick and choose. We can use words to validate. I remember there was once, because our church is quite big in Singapore, a big hall, and I saw across the other room, Gurmit Singh. Because Gurmit Singh, Phua Chu Kang, goes to Grace Assembly in Singapore. Yeah. So he was sitting there. At that time, he had long hair. And I tell you what, the thought of my daughter came to me, like, Jesus, what a friend we have in Jesus. But did I stand up and say, Jesus, what a friend we have in Jesus? No. Why? Because I'm an adult. I can control my impulses. I can control myself. Yeah? And so same thing Paul is saying, if you want to be prophetic, then you really need to mature in your speech and be sure that your speech validates, comes out positively, full of praise, and full of encouragement. Amen? Somehow I use a wrong word. I say, if you want to prophesy. No, I think you really need to eagerly desire to prophesy. And I want to say the same thing to you as what my mentor says to me. Let us prophesy more. This new season, let us prophesy more. Love more. Seek the Lord more. Prophesy more and build up the church. Amen. L-O-V, and the last letter is E. E for energization. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 21 to 22, verses 24 to 25 says, in the law it is written, by people of strange tongues and by the lips of foreigners will I speak to this people. And even then they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Thus, tongues are a sign not for believers but for unbelievers, while prophecy is a sign not for unbelievers but for believers. But if all prophesy, and an unbeliever or an outsider enters, is convicted by all, he's called to account by all, the secrets of his heart are disclosed, and so falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you. Tongues and prophecies are signs of the Holy Spirit. When tongues and prophecies exist, they will point to the fact that God exists and that God is real. And that's why in Acts 2, in the upper room, the Jews came from other nations coming to that place in the upper room, thinking the people, the disciples, will only speak Galilean accents. But when they came here, the Galileans were speaking many other languages and many other accents, accents of the Parthians, Mesopotamia, Judea, Arab, Cappadocia, Asia, Egypt, Libya, Rome. They were speaking in all kinds of tongues. And so when the people came, the Jews came, they were perplexed and they were amazed. That's what Acts 2:12 says. They got energized. Wow. And they asked this question, what does this mean? And Peter stood up. And Peter had the opportunity to explain the scriptures in the book of Joel. Prophecies come into our midst when we practice them to bring conviction to outsiders and unbelievers. Because they come in without knowing anything. They come in and there's a prophecy about them. Wow, it brings conviction to them. And then they suddenly realize that whatever they have got in their hearts, which is a secret, nobody knew. Nobody knew this about me. But then the one who prophesies give this word and they say, wow, who can know the thoughts of men? Who can know my thoughts except God? And then here in the meeting, God uses that person's word to energize them. That's energization. Amen. My brother-in-law went to church one day. He said, I don't go to church. But it was a crisis situation, and he went to church. And it was a very big church, so nobody would know him. So he was already in a bad sort of a space. And so he just wanted to sit somewhere that nobody can see him and he's not noticed. Anyway, he sat somewhere. After the service was over, the young girl that was sitting next to him just went to him and said, I just want to say this to you. God loves you very much. And he bawled his eyes. Who is this young girl? Who knows my heart that I need that message? Who knows that I need that word that's going to build me up and console me and strengthen me? Nobody would know. And yet God sent a young girl sitting next to him to just tell him that God loves him. That's a prophecy. That's a prophetic word. And outsiders and unbelievers and even believers will fall on their faces. They will worship God and then declare, oh God, God is really among you. And I pray and I desire that our spiritual state will be like that as well, church. That people will come into our midst and then they will touch a live wire of love and a live wire of spiritual gifts and prophecy, and then they will declare, wow, God is real here. So I pray that we will prophesy more, eagerly desire to prophesy with a heart of love, because God wants to energize us for greater maturity, ministry, and manifestation. So first of all, L for love, love, mature in love, mature in spiritual gifts, love spiritual gifts. Particularly, have order. Take turns to minister in prophecy so that everybody gets built up. V for validation. You minister through intelligible instruction and you minister through praise. Ask God to help you construct your words. Huh? And E, energization. See the manifestation and the realness of God and the conviction of hearts so that they will see who the Father is. Amen. 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 That's our message for today. And I just pray that the Lord would use that to help you be bold and to be free in asking God for spiritual gifts in building up the church. Music team, would you come forward? Come, Holy Spirit is a good song. I love that song. Fall afresh on me. Is that your song as well? Do you actually intend to sing that song or no? No.
Close to it.
Close to it. All right, sing your song first. Let the person esteem the other one better, isn't it? Okay, you sing your song, then you sing my request. Way of love, right? I teach it, I must practice it, right? Love is a way of life. So brother first, then me. Please stand.
Come like a wisdom to children. Come as new sight to the blind. Come, Lord, as strength to my weakness. Take me so body and mind. Come as a rest to the weary. promise abound for the soul. Come as a dew to my dryness, fill me with joy evermore.
Spirit is here, not just now, but from the very start, or even very start of creation, the Holy Spirit is there. But when we gather, there is a corporate sense of the Holy Spirit working corporately. So the Holy Spirit at 10 o'clock this morning was already here. I believe there are some needs in our midst. some of the needs you have shared, some of the needs you have not shared. But I believe the body of Christ is adequate because God has given us gifts so that when we prophesy, the words that you speak that comes from God will meet those needs that are in the midst of the church. I'm hoping for 2 or 3 people that are going to be bold and to say, okay, today the Lord will use me as a channel to speak His words. I don't know what the needs are. It's not your concern, but you speak the word that God has put into your heart. There are 2 or 3 of us here, and I'd like you to be bold. So music, just keep it fairly low so that those who want to prophesy can, so that I can pick up as well. So wherever you are, if there is a word God is brewing in your heart, you speak it up in English, not in tongues. Tongues, leave it at home unless you can interpret or somebody can interpret. But if not, you prophesy in English, not in French. English. All right. It's okay to wait on the Lord, yeah? Because you need to construct the words, isn't it? Ready to speak, just raise your hand so that I can see you and I want to really hear you. Yeah? Yes. Would you prophesy? Brother, that's a prayer. I'm going to turn that into a prophecy for you. The Lord is here. The Lord says He loves you, all of you. And if there is a need for forgiveness of sins, the Lord of love that is here is willing, through the prayer of my brother, He's willing to forgive you of that sin. Come to Him boldly and say, "Oh God, I blew it again. Please forgive me." The Lord of love is here to forgive you. Thank you, brother. Is there another word of prophecy? If you raise your hand, I would see you, and then I will lean in to listen.
There's just this one word that says believe. All things is possible if you believe. All things are possible if you believe. Believe in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Believe with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Do not look to the left. Do not look to the right. Look towards Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. For He's the one that will bring to pass whatever you see is impossible. Believe.
That's a prophecy because it instructs. Whatever you are holding in your heart, this prophecy is asking you to believe in God. And there's an instruction there. Do not look to your left. Do not look to your right. Don't be unfocused. Don't be distracted. Look to the author and finisher of your faith. That's a prophetic word.
It's the word also say, seek my presence. My presence will fill you joy. Moses, when he prayed, say, God, if you go before me without your presence, I will not go. Because God's presence gives favor. God's presence gives love. So we are, as a believer, we are different. So we always seek God's presence that will go before us. Thank you.
That's an instruction. Seek the presence of God, for God will give you the favor and God will take care of you. And God will help you as you go along. As you seek Him, He will give you the favor. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, you are so real amongst us. Lord, you know our needs. There are some of us here that need the forgiveness of sin, and you have given a word. Some of us need a favor, an open door, an opportunity, and you have given the word. Some of us have dreams, and maybe some impossible things in our heart, like imagination. But here is to believe. God has a word. Father, we thank you so much that you do not deny us our wishes, our dreams, our needs and our wants. You are a God that cares for us like a good heavenly Father. Holy Spirit, we just pray that more and more, dear Lord, we'll be open to you. We'll let you lead us and fulfill us. We give you thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's people say, amen. Amen. Please be seated.
Again, as we will close with the benediction for this morning, if you could just raise your hands to receive the benediction. Now may the Holy Spirit come upon all of you and fill all of you, that you may reveal the person and the presence of Christ Jesus to the world around you by the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, that Christ Jesus be glorified in and through you, now and always. Amen. Amen.